And we're sitting in a lovely building, the GMHBA building, and we're sitting on level 8 with KPMG Associate Director Matthew Fletcher, but we'll chat to him in a minute.
In Geelong. Well, yeah, this has been the week of the big horse race, of course.
It has.
And it's amazing how many people, and combined with an RDO in the industrial sector, have turned it into about a six-day weekend. And it's very noticeable out there. And not that I agree with all of that, because our retailers and our small businesses are suffering at the moment.
It's interesting the number of people around. As you know, I'm down in little sunny Ocean Grove, and quite a few people down there. So it was an excuse to have a break, I think.
That's right. Anyway, we're back at work, and here we are today. So, Mark, how about introducing our guest?
Well, I've been hounding this gentleman for a while to catch him, but he's been a bit busy working on his blueprint for Geelong. So, Matthew Fletcher, welcome.
Thank you very much. Good to see you, Mark.
Thank you. And as we sort of chat with all these stories, where did life begin for you? Where was primary school, Matthew?
Well, it's interesting. My parents were Salvation Army officers, so I moved around a lot. So I was actually born in Bairnsdale, and then not long after that, we moved to Geelong, and my sister was actually born in Baxter House. So we were at Nor Lane there for a bit, and then we headed over to Rhodesia as my parents were missionaries over there. So my first school was actually in Rhodesia in what was Harare. What was Salisbury is now Harare, the capital. In a little school called Nettleton School, where at one point I got set out on the porch because I didn't have a clean handkerchief. I came back with a thick English accent, I've heard on some of the tapes. But, so primary school was all over the shop. We came back to Kniver and Horsham, Ballarat, and then moved to Whyalla, so in South Australia, where eventually I got into high school from there and then back to Melbourne from there.
It's a really interesting, not as many moves as you, but my dad was an engineer and we went all over the place. And I think it's allowed the ability to be able to walk up to anybody and talk because
Absolutely.
You had to.
Yes. I mean, you get to a new place, you need to find new friends and you need to find them fast.
Yeah, well, Mark, a couple of things there. We interviewed young Cody Thompson, who was a youth counsellor with church in Sydney, and he came out of Bendigo, but he ended up in the Philippines. But because he had a bit of aptitude to building websites and all this, that went by the wayside. Now he runs an enormous business based in the Philippines with about 350 employees.
Yep.
You just don't know where life's going to take you.
No, absolutely. And that was the interesting thing. We didn't know where we used to get in the Salvation Army. There was a time in November, they called it, I can't remember what it's called, but what you'd get is you'd get a letter in the mail. Every minister or officer would get a letter in the mail and it would say where you are going. It might say you're staying there. It might say you have been appointed to Horsham. Okay, we're moving to Horsham. And everybody would move on the 15th of January every year.
Wow.
Which was interesting because my birthday was the 19th. And so I'd always have a pre-party and a post-party with family, which was never as exciting. So, so my childhood was moving around everywhere. Obviously fairly involved in the Salvos. I play brass instruments and trombone and ended up music directing and that type of stuff and playing at a fairly high level, which was a lot of fun.
Did you at Christmas time get out in the street with the band and march down the street?
So caroling is an interesting thing in the Salvos. Back in my time, you would start on basically the 1st of December and it would be at least two nights a week. You'd do about 3 hours, two nights a week, plus you'd do every Sunday you'd be caroling, plus every Saturday night you'd do a carols. We used to get to the point where we walk around the streets and we'd say, okay, everybody swap instruments because we're so bored with playing these carols. Now, I can probably play most of them still, and it's been probably 30 years since I did that. I could probably play most of them, and I can remember what the numbers of the carols were in the books because Jingle Bells was number 74. Mm-hmm. And I remember that because that was the one we played over and over again.
Well, it's fond memories for my kids. And we lived in Kew for quite a number of years.
Mm.
And they had a huge band, used to walk around the streets of Kew before Christmas.
Would have been
and
Hawthorne.
It was like the Pied Piper.
Yes.
There was probably 50 kids following everywhere they went.
It was. It was really, it was a great fun. It was a great time.
But
and you know, we had a big music camp that used to happen in January, and you'd arrive there and your embouchure, your lips would be in absolute peak condition. So you'd be in great shape. It's like getting pre-season training type of thing.
All right, Matthew. Let's move on.
Yeah, move on.
Finish off by saying that Salvos do an unbelievable job.
They do.
And I volunteer delivering food to two of their outlets, one in Colac, one in Geelong. It's unbelievable what they do. Okay, what was your first job?
My first job, I was at a kite factory in Burwood East, and you used to go to the show and you used to have those invisible dogs that people had, like the lead with the collar on it that you walk around like an invisible dog. I put the rope on the wire.
Oh, that's an exciting job. So that's a learning opportunity.
So there was like seven or eight of us, young 14-year-olds at the back of this kite shop. It'd probably be constituted as a sweatshop these days, just doing this menial work. But that was my very first job.
What was your first real job?
My first real what constitutes a real job? I suppose I remember working at Food Plus for a little bit, doing the really late night shifts. I had so many little odd jobs here and there. I actually, after I dropped out of uni, I went into IT, but that wasn't really my jam. So I dropped out and I ended up going and working as a cleaner at what's now Epworth. It was Bethesda Hospital at the time, and doing a lot of odd jobs there, which was really good money at the time. But not my calling, but did that for a while. Until I actually got into graphic design and started doing some graphic design stuff. So that was kind of the start of it. But, yeah, lots of little odd jobs here and there.
And why did you end up in Geelong? Or how did you end up in Geelong?
So I was my girlfriend at the time, her parents were also Salvation Army officers. It just turns out that her mum and my dad actually used to date, which – tells you how incestuous the Salvos can be. I mean, it's like any organisation. I followed her down here. She was going to the Salvos at Belmont, and I started doing that from Preston. And then eventually she moved down, and then her sister moved down, and then her brother and I actually moved in together in Belmont. So 28 years ago.
So what was your job down here then?
Down here then, I was actually working. I wasn't actually working in Geelong. I was working up in Melbourne at. What was I doing? I think I was working at an industrial cable manufacturer up in Melbourne. I started in their external sales team, and then I actually started to handle their IT help desk and their. I was doing a fair bit of graphic design for them as well, so their comms stuff. So that's where it kind of. That's where I was at that point.
So flicking through your LinkedIn profile, which
doesn't
start that, but and has quite a few. Different,
yeah.
And I like the variety. So is that because you liked challenges and kept moving, or what drove you to?
Well, it turns out that I've got ADHD, and I didn't quite realise this until only just very recently, actually. But my parents actually had me diagnosed very, very early, 40 years ago or something, when nobody knew what it meant. But I was always looking at that next challenge, going, "What's next?" I don't think I've ever had a career design mentality where I'm going to be, this or that. I mean, I did work experience in Mallison Stephens Jacques as a law firm. I certainly considered that for a bit, but then moved schools. I then did work experience at Siemens Technology and putting the big old reels onto the onto the computers. But it's really been opportunistic to a large extent. Even in the graphic design stuff, I was doing some stuff with a friend. I got into the Mac computers that he had and thought, this is fantastic, being able to design and to do a newsletter, which I was doing for our youth group back then in the Salvos. And one of them said, well, why don't you come and do some work in the sector? So I actually initially went and did a print pre-press apprenticeship for about 6 months, which was 13-hour days where I'd have about 5 minutes of work. So the most boring job you can imagine. But then actually did some graphic design training in St Kilda Road with a good guy who actually taught me what I needed to know and helped me start my first business while my sister paid my rent and my dad paid my bills, just having a go and realising actually I'm No, and I failed on that one. Did have another couple of goes at that, so I've got three successful failures in business. Learned a lot, which is the key.
We all have some. Let's leapfrog.
Please.
Let's leapfrog into today. And now you're sitting here in the offices of KPMG, and you are an associate director here.
Yep.
One of the questions I have is, why has KPMG come to Geelong? Because it's full of large, smaller firms.
Mm.
But I think you would be the first of the big boys to actually locate in Geelong.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think the thing is, within KPMG, there is a structure where we actually have what we call the enterprise division. Now, the enterprise division is really aimed at that mid-market or the large family businesses or the medium-sized businesses as well. And we offer services directly for that, which is unusual for the Big Four. The other Big Four don't really have something like that. So Geelong's actually right in that wheelhouse. It's the type of thing where when we look at the type of clientele in Geelong, 90% of the clientele actually fits with what we call our enterprise division. And that covers, tax and audit and consulting and advisory and also into things like grants and funding and that type of stuff. So it really is a really good fit. People might just think KPMG just does your big BHPs or your Telstras, all those type of ASX 200. We actually deal with a lot of family business is actually a really big thing as well, which is big in Geelong, as we know.
Yeah. So what led you into KPMG? Where's the dotted line?
I suppose. Look, if I go back a bit, I actually I was working at my church at one point, running our communications and media team there. I started with two people as volunteers, and that I ended up when I left. I had 55 volunteers in my team, so I learned very quickly how to actually build and lead a team. I'm since learned the hard way, and which actually became a real passion of mine. From there, somebody actually convinced me to go and sit down with Senator Steve Fielding. He said, I need someone. So I ended up getting into politics and did that, then came home and worked in Geelong for about a year, then was asked to go back to do politics again. From there, I went into consulting in government grants, and that's where the connection to KPMG came, because they were my client and my competitor at the same time.
Yep.
So after I left that firm, I had a bit of a hiatus at NDIS, which was a bit of fun, but I had a call from someone who I used to work a lot with at KPMG, and they said, we're opening a Geelong office. And I said, that's nice. Would you like some phone numbers? And they said, no, come and work for us. I was like, okay. So, get the chance to help to build something from the ground up, which is a lot of fun, and it might be weird, but I like actually growing a market, which is very different from growing a business, but it's sometimes just as harrowing or less harrowing. I don't know. It's a lot of fun.
Well, that's interesting, because remember, Mark, we interviewed my niece actually from Sydney, who was the CEO of Ray White Property in Australia. Mm. And she made the comment to us that when I asked her about their presence in Geelong, and she said, well, we really don't have one. But she said Geelong's actually made up of mainly independent real estate agents. Mm. And I think if you look around the accounting profession in Geelong, it's exactly the same thing, isn't it? And that's why I referred to you being the first.
Yeah, look, I don't think – we're not coming here to necessarily take that business away from – but I think the thing is we see is that there's lots of really good accounting business out there, but we're a different type of business in the sense that we can offer a lot more than it's a different level. And so what we look at is we look at a lot of the other, organisations that are coming in, Big Fours and that type of stuff that people might be using. People might be going to Melbourne for stuff. You can now access that in Geelong. We've got a local team, local clients.
The other aspect that came up the other day when the blueprint was launched, which we'll chat about in a minute, was the number of KPMG folk that live in Geelong but work in Melbourne and now don't have to travel to Melbourne. So
and that's a really key thing. I think the thing is if we go back, even 5 years, if we go back pre-COVID, most of the time you set up an office, and Ray White would be another example. You set up an office because only there was a market opportunity and it was predominantly for that, and then you figured out the staffing later. These days I think it's more and more about the fact that, well, where are our staff? How do we ensure we can keep our staff? Because as we know, there's a labour shortage, and keeping good staff is a really, really key thing. So having an office locally in an area where, we have over 50 people that live in Geelong, I think it's actually more. We haven't really done exactly the numbers. Plus, everybody in Western Melbourne prefers to come to Geelong than they do to go into the Melbourne CBD if they can. So it makes sense on both angles. This is definitely a business angle.
Yeah.
But there's also an angle of, hey, how do we support our team, our employees?
And who would want to live in Melbourne?
That's a very, very good question.
I had to go up there for a funeral the other day, and of course I lived there for a bloody damn long time.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't believe the traffic trying to get off the tunnel just to get to a church in Richmond. Right? I was frustrated, put it that way.
Well, I mean, 10 years ago, everybody's next career move was Melbourne.
Mm.
We're actually getting to the point now where we can potentially have those capital city careers here. And that's one of the things we're looking to do as well. So
what sort of services are you offering the business folk of Geelong?
So definitely your business tax advisory, audit advisory as well. We have a wide, wide range of advisory that in terms of things like working around the ESG or environmental social governance, which is a big and growing topic that if people don't understand it, it's probably, you know, yesterday was the time to know about it. IT, we have such a widespread of available services that we can use here, but we also have access to a global network. I mean, if you need a global expert for something specific, I might have someone in Canada that we can bring into that conversation. That's very, very hard to find elsewhere. It's all of those services. It's let's have a conversation. What are the things that are happening, giving you problems?
So we'll come to your blueprint in a tick, but one of the other things, and I think probably the first or second place that I met you was Entrepreneurs Geelong.
Yep.
What got you to start that up?
I was actually telling this story yesterday. I was, I remember I was at the consulting firm at Melbourne I was at, and I found out about this Geelong Entrepreneurs. It was a little group that Amir Shatub was running. So Amir's a fantastic guy locally, and he was running it through ICT Geelong, and I said, I'd be interested to come along. He said, great, come along. Now, I found out when I got there that I was the guest speaker for the day, but and it was very just relaxed to the point where I actually had a good friend of mine said to me, can you make something of this? It's like, okay. So we got into it. We took it over. I had the fantastic Liz Grant as my sidekick, or actually I was probably her sidekick, really.
That's somebody we should interview at some stage.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. We took that over and we built an association around. We put some really good governance in place, and we just thought, let's just see what we can do. So we had breakfasts every month. It's a lot of breakfasts to run 11 breakfasts a year. We just thought we'd do a couple and see what people thought, and people responded incredibly well. And that was an incredibly positive experience, being able to talk to entrepreneurs, because generally entrepreneurs are lonely. And there is, you know, being able to give them a home every month where they can come and, you know, hang out with people that are just as crazy as they are, was really positive. So
it doesn't have to be young either.
No.
Only yesterday I was asked by a business owner about support, personal support.
Yeah.
And I actually ended up directing him to the men's shed.
Yeah.
And he was a bit distressed. He said, I've got no one to mix with, sort of thing, business-wise.
Mm.
And I know a lot in the men's shed. And it came about because I was asking him, let's set up a donation to a cause that you believe in.
Mm.
And that's how that came about.
Yeah.
So networking and this
community,
kindred group is what everybody needs.
I think we talk about networking a lot, but I think the real power in certainly the power in Entrepreneurs Geelong was actually having a community.
Mm.
And it's really building a community of people that A, feel your pain, but also want to see you succeed, and are somebody you can actually just feel comfortable with. And I think I know networking kind of covers a lot of that type of stuff, but the real places that work in that sense are the places where you can actually build community, and that's the key.
And that's probably where the organisations like BNI.
Yeah, absolutely. Are up. Absolutely.
You know, you're there for a common interest to help grow your business and connections, and it powers on.
And you know, there's lots of different elements. I mean, there are people in the crowd, there are people in the community, there's people in the core. So it's just understanding. And look, Entrepreneurs Geelong certainly met a need at the time. So
yeah, no, it's cool. So the blueprint.
The blueprint.
So what got you thinking about the blueprint? What, where did it...
First of all, you better explain what it is.
No, I'll let Matthew do that. Oh, okay. Where's the germination of the idea?
So the Geelong Economic Blueprint, I suppose it's a bit of an outworking of something I've been passionate about for quite some time, and that's how do we actually grow business? And, you know, a lot of the time we talk about economic development, which is vitally important. And I've had a lot to do with the Economic Development Association and whether it be governments and all that. And that's an absolutely vital thing. But we sometimes do miss a bit of the how do we actually specifically grow business. And for me, growing businesses who have grown often do so either organically or anonymously. You know, anonymously it's like, oh, we had someone help us. Or organically, we just made it happen. But there's so much latent potential in there to actually grow our businesses and to do it in almost a corporate community type fashion. And really, I wanted to spark that conversation. And I think that's what we're trying to do here with the blueprint is spark the conversation is, you know, how do we grow business in Geelong? And so we went through a series of questions, talked to 56 different people around town, in every type of shape, you know, lots of people at different levels in different industries and different stages of life, to really start to understand what do they think, and then to kind of illustrate that and to give some insights and hopefully give some ideas about how we should measure our success. So,
and it's interesting because at the launch there was a cross section of folks, sure. Obviously, but the data that KPMG brings along struck me within the document.
Yes. Well, that was a very deliberate thing because I think, in Geelong, we're one of the fastest growing cities in regions in Australia. And at one point, we outstripped Gold Coast for a moment there. And I think that there is still a huge drive around the demographic growth and the growth of the actual city. A lot of the time, we hear the demographics talking about just the growth itself, or the population growth, or maybe even the growth in households or development as such. We don't often get really into the nuts and bolts of the actual business. So really wanted, and I worked a lot with our economics team to really start to expand on that data set that we had. It's all there, but I think that wanted to put that front and centre so we can have conversations on it.
So what's the three or four key messages?
there are five key things. I think the thing is, for me, number one, the Geelong lifestyle is the real magnet. I mean, I think that, you know, it's really interesting having talked to so many different people outside of Geelong that they don't quite understand as, like you need to explain it. It's like, well, if you understand it, if you know it, you know it. And from a Geelong perspective, and I did say a couple of times, it'd be nice to actually almost do a study on defining and deliberately unpacking the Geelong lifestyle, but that's a real key. The really exciting thing was people were talking about we need to share in the prosperity we build. How do we make sure we put everybody on the bus? And, you know, in Geelong, whereas in Melbourne, like, you know, when you're in Melbourne, you don't really care about other places in Melbourne to a large extent because you don't really have that connection to it.
That's because we fit that true, what you call, village.
Yes.
And we're not part of Melbourne.
No.
And we're tribal.
Correct.
You see, you just go to the footy club on a Saturday afternoon.
Absolutely.
We're tribal.
Absolutely. Right? And yeah. I'm a Swan supporter. Don't hold it against me. But I mean, but you're right in the sense that we are Geelong is really, it does resonate. And the football club has a lot to do with it, but I think it's just who we are. So that shared prosperity is really exciting. The other thing too is it really about, you know, we need to have a renewed focus on the leadership we need to be able to get the collaboration in order to progress things. You know, collaboration was the key thing that people said about how do we drive growth in our businesses. And, you know, to be able to do that collaboration, you need the leadership and the vision to be able to do that. So that was, they're kind of some of the big takeaways. But I think the biggest thing is that we just don't talk about business enough. We don't talk about growing business.
Good point.
Well, we went to a business function recently and the speaker at the start got up and didn't even mention business.
No.
Guy couldn't believe it.
But I think that when we look at that and we accept that and we don't say, wait a minute, let's talk about this. You know, and this is part of the reason with the blueprint. It's like, let's keep it front and centre. Let's have the conversation. And I mean, the exciting thing is I'm having those conversations with people. After this goes to where, obviously, I'll be going to the at the UDI, the Urban Development Institute of Australia conference. So I'm talking about the blueprint there, which is great. So that'll be interesting. But it's really interesting to get that in front of people just to spark the conversation. I mean, look, at KPMG, we're not telling people what to do. I think the thing is, it's just saying, this is where people think. This is it's a perception document. Yep. So it's not. So we've got the balance of the data, the hard data. We've also got, you know, this is what people think, and this is what the actuality is. Now the difference in that is an interesting one too, because a lot of people perceive that some industries are higher than actually they are, or lower even. So, you know, construction and building was, I think, only at 15% in terms of people's perception, where in reality, it's our second largest industry and probably going to be our biggest shortly.
Right, Matthew, let's pretend it's the same day in 5 years' time.
Yep.
Describe the Geelong in that concept of what you just spoke about. You produced the blueprint. Now, where's the vision?
I do sit here as KPMG at times too. So, I think the key thing that I've always driven towards, if we can actually build a city and a business community that is growth obsessed, innovation focused, and entrepreneurially minded, we can rule the world. And I think it's about how do we continue to have those conversations? How do we continue to ask the question? I mean, as entrepreneurs will tell you, you know, the great entrepreneurs don't fall in love with the solutions, they fall in love with the problems. Mm. Now, that's not to say that you don't work towards the solution. That's the whole idea of it. But I think that for me, if the blueprint can kind of provide a blueprint for our current thought process or how we should path forward, it's like, let's keep having the conversation. Let's keep asking the questions.
Matthew, thank you. I've been looking forward to today and you haven't disappointed. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
And look forward to the blueprint journey and seeing how it eventuates and where it goes. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Matthew. It was good to interview you, and let's hope that we can get the heads and leaders in Geelong together and speak in unity, if possible.
Thanks, mate.